Hello and welcome to another episode of the Successful Home Ownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie, out of the greater Cincinnati area. And for this episode, we did go out of the greater Cincinnati area into one of our two man-made lake gated community neighborhoods known as Lake Lorelei. We have another one, Lake Winoka. And I'm sure some people prefer one, some people prefer the other. They're both from the late 60s, I believe. And they, again, are both man-made lakes. So you have very unique housing designs inside these. And it's not uncommon to have an A-frame house. So we'll call this episode the Grade A A-frame house inspection. And so let's talk about A-frames. You've seen these up in mountains. You've seen them up in, the Swiss chalet kind of look and so forth. And they are rather interesting. And they have their unique characteristics. And I'm going to talk about some of those and specifically some of the unique characteristics encountered at this one on this day, driving out to the country, probably about a 50-mile drive from Cincinnati there about. It was somewhat over an hour to get there. And there were some really good things about this house, and the buyers, I'm sure, are going to enjoy many years in there. So on the outside, when you look at the house, you have the front porch that is very typical. You have a deck porch, whatever you want to call it. And instead of having a front entrance door, you have a couple of patio doors. Very typical. You basically are living in a house that is much like a vacation home. And if you're going to live there year round, then you want to have it comfortable no matter which season you are at. And no different on this one. So for a house that somebody is selling and moving to be in this community for their retirement, you just want to make sure everything is done right before you move in, and you're going to hopefully have a low maintenance situation. So the roof, definitely, I mean, when I climbed up there, I didn't climb up there. I climbed on the flat part because they had turned the garage on the left side into a room, and then on the right side it had an addition, and those had flat roofs. So yeah, I climbed on those, but I certainly didn't put on my hiking shoes and Swiss mountain climber uniform and climb up the extraordinarily steep A-frame roof, which was put on, I think, very well. So that passed the test for sure. And the EPDM rubber membrane roofs on the left and the right, those inspected quite well too. Now, on an A-frame house, some of the larger ones have no additions, no extra stuff on the left or right. They are just bigger, and you may even have a third story on an A-frame house if it's that big. This one was two stories. And one of the findings, though, on the chimney, there was a chimney and a fireplace that they had turned into a wood-burning stove insert, and it did have a vertical crack on like three rows of brick. That definitely needs to be repaired for sure. So we noted that. And kind of a strange finding, the rubber membrane roof was fine, except around where the electrical mast was, which takes in your service entry on the mast and then into the house for the 200 amp panel. The mast rubber boot going around it had a very large crack in it, and that, though I didn't see any water in the panel or anything, that could generate a leak, so that definitely does need to be repaired. Both the rubber membrane roof and the main house roof were put on about the same time. I'd say 7-8 years is a good estimation for the age of those. Now, so come down off the ladder, walking around the house, there were a couple places that needed some topsoil added for grading improvement to help water drain away from the house, and that's a usual finding. Now, in this particular house, the foundation is built on a crawl space because near these two lake communities, the crawl spaces are much more prevalent than full basements or slabs, slabs are, there's a few slab houses on them, but you have kind of a high water table in these areas, so digging down and putting in a basement requires a lot of extra drainage work, and that does add expense. That being said, a crawl space has the potential to be a nightmare. And as I told the clients, you have, with crawl spaces, you have anything in between an outhouse and a penthouse, and you have everything in between. So I made sure that they understood you do not have an outhouse and you do not have a penthouse. You have something in between. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is a good inspector can walk into a house and smell a mustiness, a nasty smell, and you can tell that your crawl space is going to be a nightmare. Or you can walk into a house and you don't smell anything, which is what this house was like. So as I walked around the house and saw the vents outside, I knew I had a crawl space, which also begs the question, where's the entrance? Is it something I'm going to have to turn into a retired Louisville horse jockey kind of a sized person to be able to get in there? Or am I going to be able to get in there myself? So we'll see what happens. And I'll cover that story in just a minute. So as I walk around the house, I look at the vents and I know that, okay, well, they're ventilating the crawl space. So it's definitely not the penthouse solution. Well, Richard, what's the penthouse solution if you have a crawl space? Well, that would mean that you seal off your vents and you have coated the walls with a 8 or 10 mils thick plastic, and you have insulated everything, including the foundation walls. And you are actually heating and cooling it as if it were your basement. Whoa, that sounds expensive. Yeah, it is. So I'll cover going in the crawl space here in a minute as well. But as I traversed around this house and went to the back, I noted that there was a ductless heat pump outside. And it was a brand I haven't heard of, which is rather interesting, but there's more brands coming on the market as we move along. And there were four lines coming off of it, which turn into what's called splits. So you have four different registers or receptacles in the house that are putting out heating or cooling depending on what setting you have on it. And those are all independent thermostats as well. So you have four remote controls of heating and cooling in four different areas of the house. In this particular case, it was the master bedroom, the family room, the great room in the back of the house, which included the kitchen and eating area, and then also the upstairs. So there was one for the upstairs and in the big A part of the roof. So that was kind of neat to see. And those, so what are those kinds of things cost? Well, I looked it up. In today's environment, which is 2022 at time of recording this in October, a typical system of that nature with four splits is going to run you, and by the way, this is a 3-ton unit, going to run you about $18,000 to $20,000 installed. I think I told him it may be a little more than that, but I suppose it depends really on the brand and the company used as well. So that's kind of an average cost. It's a good solution if you also are in an extremely cold area and maybe you have an alternative additional emergency heat mode, which this is obviously not going to because it does not have forced air. So you can't have an electrical, my dad used to call it strip heat, which was basically like a toaster oven where you just blow a hairdryer across it and you're putting out hot air. And that's really what it is. And you see your little, your meter on your energy, on your meter just spinning around like crazy when you're running that thing in full electric mode, because it's really using a lot of kilowatt hours there. So I digress. So walking around the house in the back, noting things, siding is original from 1969 in some places, and it's the T111 wood siding that's been shaved down to give it some texture and lines and so forth. But it's pretty well painted, pretty well sealed. That there weren't really any bad areas of that. And then the addition on the garage side, where the garage was added, and then it's going to be turned into a maybe a living room or some other addition. That also had some newer T111, not the same pattern, but close enough, and when it's painted, it all looks the same, so it's all good. And then the deck, that looked fine. There was an oil tank in the back, and it had a wooden structure around it, and a gate on it, and it was kind of a bummer. I'm wearing a nice pair of khaki pants, and the gate opens, and it swung on me, and there was a screw on it, and it stabbed me in the butt. That was kind of a bummer, and then punctured my pants, which was the ultimate bummer. Such is the life of a home inspector. We're always running into sharp objects and hitting our heads on things. And, well, no, we're not. We don't really do that a whole lot. And we don't run, climb up very steep A-frame roofs either. But it's an adventure nonetheless. So I felt like the outside was really, really a good situation for this house, for the homeowner. But what do you do with that oil tank? You could tap on it and see if there's anything in it. If there's an oil filter, you want to make sure you advise your client to get that oil filter changed every single year. So if you have it filled up once a year, you want to have the person change the oil filter also, because that's kind of like your car. That's going to help you burn things more cleanly and is not going to dirty up your oil burning furnace. So, Richard, are you saying this house also had an oil-burning furnace? Yes, it did. Did you test it? Tried to. I think the batteries were dead on the thermostat, and the breaker was on for that included the thermostat, and I could not get the thermostat to light up, which means we could not see if the oil-burning furnace was working or not. So we definitely put notes of that type of situation in the report to make sure they were able to verify operation prior to closing, because with the heat pumps, if you get down to 10 degrees, 0 degrees, your heat pumps are only going to be able to put out so much heat. They're like squeezing a lemon for the last little drop, and once you get past a certain point, you just can't steal any more joules of heat out of the heat pump system, no matter how hard you try. It's just going to keep working and working and stealing heat. But if you have an oil burning heat, then you can use that. Now, remember I had mentioned earlier that they also have a wood stove insert on their fireplace. That all looked fine, but we can only see so far up the flue. This actually was further up the flue than most wood burning stoves, because they tend to have a kind of a unique type of a shelf type of a system where you really can't look up the flue. But this was very clean, very, very nicely done, I do think. So that could be their alternative source of heat, and maybe the house was never intended to use the oil furnace anymore, which those notes weren't given to us prior to the inspection for the listing notes and that sort of thing. That would have been nice, but it wasn't given to us. So we had to kind of do a little bit of forensic trying to see if this thing is really usable, that being the oil furnace or not. And because we couldn't turn it on, we couldn't determine that. So we did the best we could with what you got. All right, so going through inside all of the rooms, noting that there are no abnormal there are no elevation changes on the floor, so that's all given me some new warm fuzzies about the crawl space, which I had not gone in yet. And then the wood, I just love the wood in these rustic A-frame type style houses. It's not quite the same as inspecting a log cabin, log home, split wood log home, but it does have some of those characteristics of beams and one-offs where they cut the wood to fit the kit and the design of whichever architect designed this place. So that was pretty cool to see. All the appliances worked fine in the kitchen. It did come with a washer dryer. We don't test washers or dryers, but I will say this, the washers, especially when you're over a crawl space, it's a really good opportunity to drill a hole in the floor, put an overflow pan underneath your washer. So if the washing machine ever screwed up, it's going to drain out and leak into the crawl space, not onto your floor. And a lot of people, when they have a nice home like this, they spend some good money on a floor. And if you have bamboo, or if you have red oak, or just some really nice floor, you don't want that water going on the floor, ruining that floor if it ever does mess up and leak on the floor. So that's an important thing to do. Out in the country like this also, sometimes you have your discharge for your washing machine to go out into the yard, into the drainage ditch, and there's like a pipe that goes up and curls over, and when you are in the drain cycle for your washing machine or your dishwasher, that water will be kind of blown out into that drainage ditch, which is gray water. I believe we had two of those here, one for the washing machine, one for the dishwasher, or there may have been a sump pump in the crawl space, which I just could not get to because of the crawl space condition when I got in there. So I'll go over that in a second. So it is a normal thing in some counties out in the country to take your gray water, and because the ditches, drainage ditch or swale, whatever you want to call it, is not piped in, that water then is drained into directly into the ditch, and that is perfectly fine and acceptable by your municipal area. That's something you want to check on. If you're driving to a property to be that you're buying or you're looking at, and you agents out there too, if you're going to list a property out in this area, or if you're going to buy a property or help a client acquire one, you want to look into the gray water drainage situation and what the deal is with the septic. Sometimes septic systems are group septics. Sometimes they are unique per property and so forth and so on. So this did have a septic system which was emptied in the past year for a family of four. You want to get that emptied about every 3 years. For a group of two people, you just want to probably get it emptied about every 5 years. Okay, so I've covered the gray water. Now let's talk about the upstairs. So the upstairs part. So we finished the bathrooms and the bedrooms, and then we go upstairs. And some of these A-frames, we have seen spiral staircase going up to them. Those are the really smaller ones. This was a little bigger, probably about 1450, maybe 1500 square feet. And then it actually had a full regular staircase going upstairs instead of the spiral. If you needed to get a mattress up there or some furniture, you could do that. And upstairs, it really had the no attic type of a ceiling. It had lots of wood. You had the what were close to 4x6s, basically, for the cross members for the roof. And very nicely done. There was an exhaust fan that worked. So in the summer, when you have your ductless heat pump putting a lot of cool up there, maybe you struggle a little bit still with heat in the summer, and maybe you want to get some aluminum or the very thick PVC blinds that really block the light. So those two can really help out with windows. And a lot of people like to put skylights on the A-frames. Just make sure that you get them installed correctly. And you want to have some sort of sun-blocking system for those too. Also, you may want to, if you do have an exhaust fan like this, it operated at only one speed. So I suggested maybe they wanted to consider having a rheostat put on, which would essentially be a dimmer switch for that. Be able to adjust the speed of the fan if possible. You certainly don't need to run it on full blast, and especially if you're trying to sleep, it was kind of loud, and you want to have a gentle hum, you know, for that white noise going on, and that'll certainly help you sleep and help you have good air during a warm summer evening. All right, so what does that leave? That leaves the crawl space for this A-frame house. And so I described the outside. The foundation had all the vents. There was no abnormal slopages towards the house. There was on the left side of the house a discharge 2-inch pipe. going into the ground, going into probably a corrugated pipe or a PVC drain line. And then the right side, there was one also. I suspect one of those may have been from the dishwasher. One of them may have been from the washing machine. Okay, that being said, where does that water go? Well, that water goes into those gray water swales and drains into either the back of the property, off the property, down a slope, or into a front drainage ditch. This one actually is towards the back of the property because it sloped down and away. So it wasn't like some of those houses that might be right on a two-lane highway where each house next door to each other has that characteristic curved pipe discharging gray water into the drainage ditch. So in the middle closet under the stairs, as I said, there was a closet. So in that closet was the water heater. So we inspected the water heater, and that wasn't anything really out of the ordinary, just an electric water heater. And then there was a access panel in the floor. And I pulled the access panel up, and there's this 2x8 blocking half of it, which gave me only half of that opening to be able to get into and get in the crawl space. So what'd you do, Richard? You dive head first into it? No. I kind of straddled and used my arms and lowered myself into it, crouched down, and then just, shone my flashlight to try to see in all directions where I'm going. Okay, this part in front of me was the front of the house. And then in the back was the back of the house underneath the eating area kitchen. And then off to the right was the bedroom. And that basically was the entire crawl space. But there were some middle walls, which were really the columns holding up the center of the house. And those were obscured by hanging insulation off of the ceiling, off of the floor joists. And that really, and there was plastic sheathing below those. But what had happened is, in the past, I think a raccoon had gotten in there. And what they do, they're not really good interior decorators. They're more like interior destroyers. So what he did in a single-handedly wrecking crew is he tore up all the insulation, made the plastic come down off the ceiling, and all that really needs to be torn out and reinstalled, and then a new moisture barrier put on the ground. So this place was from 1969, so you can imagine some of the plastic that had been on the ground was probably pretty old. And though it was dry, okay, there was nice gravel underneath it, it didn't stink outside of, So I got an up close and personal on a few raccoon turds, and that wasn't all that nice. So I tried to avoid crawling on those. Oh, that's gross. Yeah, well, that's what I do for a living, and it's part of the adventure, and, there's nothing else about this crawl space that was bad, except it just needed to have all that stuff reinstalled. Now, because there was so much of it on the ground, and I couldn't tell what's what in a few places, and I really couldn't traverse from point A to point B and go around some corners, I was able to get good pictures for the buyer. But it was actually kind of dangerous to try to traverse some of those areas because it would turn into a situation where it would be very difficult to turn back around. And again, safety is number one. We always want to be safe. So I never did see where if there were sump pumps down there. So that's something that I did put in the report to verify with the homeowners. Are those sump pumps or are those discharge pipes from the dishwasher and from the washing machine? I didn't hear any sump pumps run while I was there. Now, granted, it was not a very wet situation at all. In fact, the crawl space I thought was very nicely dry, which is a very good thing for a crawl space. I've seen some crawl spaces that were horrific. I will say again, if you are a listing agent and you have intentions to list a house that has a crawl space, please, 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 please know the condition of your crawl space prior to listing the house, or you could be in for a inspection that goes south, and it's not the inspector's fault. It's the fault of the crawl space being in that condition and not being flagged prior to the house being listed, and thus prior to the inspection. We shouldn't be surprised with such conditions. Now, if somebody says, I don't care, it's as is, that's one thing. But if you have a house that you know is a good listing, but it happens to have a crawl space, then spend the time with the owner to make sure somebody goes in there and checks out the condition before the listing. But I haven't been in there in 15 years and it was fine when I was in there last time when the cable guy went in 10 years ago and he put all the DirecTV cables in and all that, and he said something about splashing, but yeah, I know it's been good since then. No, that's not good enough. You really want to make sure of that. Sometimes those crawl space solutions can be $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 of stuff that needs to be done to get drainage in there, to get a sump pump put in, and to put ground cover down, and to clean mold off of joists. We've seen all kinds of stuff in these crawl spaces. Okay, this one did not have mold on the joists, did not have any other issues other than the hanging insulation and needing a new ground cover, moisture barrier is what it's called, black plastic, 8 or 10 mils thick, and use construction adhesive to glue it under the sides of the foundation walls. And then you got a really good situation if you can put the BATTS, BATS insulation, in the floor joists, and then staple gun some plastic to hold that all in from below. Then you really have a good situation. Now, if you really want to Cadillac it or penthouse it, whatever you want to do, then you go for the high dollar, sealing the walls, putting insulation on the walls, closing your vents, literally closing them off. There's no airflow other than air-conditioned air and heated air, which is also air-conditioned. It's just with a furnace. Treat it like you would a basement space. Then you really have no mold and it just smells great inside your house. You got no musty smell or whatever. So after I was done inspecting what I could, I got a whole lot of pictures, worked my way back out, got out, closed myself off, made sure I didn't have any raccoon turds on me, and got out of there. And it was all good. No live raccoons, no dead raccoons. Quite honestly, there was only like one set of raccoon turds. I think they probably... I don't know, raccoons, you know, they're actually pretty darn smart. I think they probably worked their way into one of the vents, which all were intact at the inspection. So obviously somebody reinstalled one or screwed it in. I don't know, I've never seen a raccoon operate a screwdriver, you know, a Phillips head screwdriver to get one of those screws off and get in. But I don't know, they're pretty crafty animals. All right, so... This A-frame house really turned out to be a good inspection. The clients seemed to be very happy also. And there was just some typical stuff that needed done. I think the most important thing was verifying that the oil furnace works or doesn't work or whatever the status may be, followed by also making sure the crawl space has those remediation activities done. And those are really the two main items from this inspection. Everything else, as they say, would be cake after that. And then I drove home and enjoyed the drive from the country, and all good until the next inspection. And that being said, all good until the next episode of the Successful Home Ownership Show. And this has been your host, Richard McKenzie, from the greater Cincinnati area of First Inspection Services and a great A-frame house. And thank you for listening.